Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another broadcast here as we broadcast live over the World Wide Web. Wednesday night Bible study, Omega Ministries. I'm Pastor Price. Hopefully, everybody's having a good week thus far. We're going to be moving right along here as we get into the lesson for tonight. Hopefully, we can bring some clarity and bring some edification into your life and help you as you endeavor to get closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Before we get going here, let's do the announcements as usual. First of all, we're recommending this book to you, like we've been doing here for the last month and a half or so. The book is entitled The Organic Gospel. The Organic Gospel by myself and Maisha Hunter. The Organic Gospel is a good book. The cleft notes on back say, what if the purpose of the scriptures is not to have you focused on doing the will of God, but becoming the will of God? What if God desires to have his word sown a seed into your heart so that the very nature of his son, Jesus Christ, is conceived in you? What if the objective of salvation is for this conceived nature to grow out of you, transforming you into the image of Christ by the Holy Spirit? What if everything in the world's systems, including religion, is designed to stop this process from occurring in your life? What if the time is fast approaching when God's manifested sons will be revealed to the world, and you have not sanctified yourself so that this seed sown can mature to full stature within you personally? What if I am right, and you never come to understand that the very essence of the gospel of Jesus Christ is organic? The organic gospel. It's a discourse that reveals the fact that the gospel is organic. It's alive. It's planted. It's nurtured and it's grown out of you. And it imparts to you a new nature. It's the nature that's defiled. It's the image of God that is defiled. Sin impugns the DNA, chromosome, and genetic environment in mankind. Restoration is reparation of all of those elements that define you as a human being. We're supposed to bear the image of God, supposed to be in the image of Jesus Christ, but the devil, he destroyed the relationship by imparting to us a nature that damaged the image of God in us. The gospel of Jesus Christ restores the image, which allows the Holy Ghost to come back upon us and make us into sons of God again. Get a copy of this book. It explains it in detail. The Organic Gospel by myself and Maisha Hunter, available at www.theorganicgospel.net. www.theorganicgospel.net. Get a copy. It'll bless you. All right, next, remember, after this broadcast and every night at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the prayer line is available for prayer, intercession, supplication, and to make your needs known to God. The prayer line, every night, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. That number is 641-715-3670. 641-715-3670, and the access code is 409-367. Access code 409-367. Get on the prayer line. It'll help you. It'll bless you. Next thing, remember Dunamis Tabernacle? Right now, we're pressing toward $89,000. We're trying to get over $90,000 in February. And we're getting close to $89,000 in the building fund. Dunamis Tabernacle, keep supporting those of you that do. Those of you that don't support it and you listen in all the time, consider supporting Dunamis Tabernacle. Consider supporting Dunamis Tabernacle. You can support by logging in to the internet, www.omegaministries.org. Click on support, then donate, to actually be able to give to Dunamis Tabernacle. The vision for Dunamis Tabernacle is on our website. You can also see a Dunamis Tabernacle presentation on YouTube. And there's a Dunamis Tabernacle Facebook page that explains in detail what Dunamis Tabernacle is all about. It's not another church, not another building, not another pulpit with people sitting out front being preached at forever. It's about forging up an end time army to take the gospel to the world, and you become a participant in the gospel and no longer a spectator. It's a whole new church paradigm. It's no longer this membership, club membership setting, and where you're sitting around just listening to sermons all day and singing songs. It's about forging out a new kind of a Christian that can actually do the works of the ministry. Dunamis Tabernacle, support it. We want to equip an army, train an army, and then send an army into battle. Dunamis Tabernacle, www.omegaministries.org. Click on support, then donate. Last thing, remember June 1st through June 4th, this year's conference is down in Florida at the Hammock Beach Resort. Hammock Beach Resort in Palm Coast, Florida, just about 28 miles north of Daytona Beach. 28 miles north of Daytona Beach, Hammock Beach Resort, the Soldiers of Light Conference, the Beach Edition. It's going to be June 1st through June 4th. Registration is open now. That same website, www.omegaministries.org, the same website. Log in, register, and then reserve your hotel suites for the conference. We're expecting a big turnout. Hopefully everybody gets down there. Make your plans now for then. Register now. Make your travel arrangements now. So June 1st, you're ready to go. The Soldiers of Light Beach Edition Conference down in Florida, Palm Coast, Florida, Hammock Beach Resort. Should be a lot of fun. 4 days of not just ministry, but also some fun in the sun, the beach, and some recreation for you and your family. Come on down to the conference June 1st through June 4th down in Palm Coast, Florida, the Soldiers of Light Conference. All right, that's the announcements for tonight. Tonight we're going to get into a message entitled Lordship and Leadership. Lordship and Leadership. We're going to discuss how Jesus is not able to be Lord without the proper leadership in place in the church. Lordship and Leadership. We're going to start this here in Jeremiah chapter 23. We're going to take a look at Matthew chapter 23 and finally wrap it up in Ephesians chapter 4. Lordship and leadership. All right, let's begin here. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 1. Jeremiah writing, he says this: Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. So you know that word for pastor is the same word for shepherd. The person that's overseeing the sheep, a caretaker for the sheep. And God is saying, woe unto the pastors. If you haven't figured it out by now, God is in the process of visiting pastors that have scattered his sheep. And he's doing something to them. And you don't want God after you when you've done something wrong and you won't repent. So right now, that woe is a term of judgment and detriment. He's after you. So woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of his pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. You have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and I will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. So you see now, there is a flock, and there is a gathering together with proper leadership and authority in place to govern the flock. So he's got to go and now regather scattered sheep that are actually going through what we call church hurt. A lot of folks been church hurt. They went to church and they got a dagger put in their heart. So now as a result, what we have in the church world is anarchy and chaos. We got a lot of church hurt people that have seized the microphone, and now they're on Facebook Live. They're down on YouTube making videos. They're stomping around in pulpits and in rented auditoriums everywhere. They're starting churches, and they have hundreds, if not thousands, of members, all spewing forth the detriment that comes as a result of church hurt and rebellion and treachery and false doctrine and all this other stuff. See, you got to reel this thing back in into a place whereby we got God manifesting his God-ordained leadership for it to be fruitful. Without that, you'll have a lot of folks running around doing a lot of stuff, but it's just not fruitful. You got to understand, you can do a good thing and it won't be a God thing. A lot of folks are saying a lot of things that are informational, but you can go and read that stuff yourself on the internet like they're reading it from the internet. They took notes from the internet, and now they're on Facebook Live trying to teach it to you. You know, I took notes from a YouTube tape I listened to, and then I come back and try to teach it to folks as if I'm some kind of an anointed deep teacher or something like that. At some point, this all has to cease and desist, and we got to get back to the normal operations of the church, which is developmental, in that it grows an organic life in you. Paul put it this way, I'm suffering with you in birth pains until Christ be formed in you. It actually grows you. When you got the right food source, it will grow the organic nature all by itself. You don't feed a dog fish food because it's not going to be nutritious for the dog. You got to have the right nature ingesting the right food source. You can't feed cat food to a fish. You can't feed dog food to your cat. You can't feed things that are not for canines and carnivorous animals to animals that like cows that ingest grass and wheat and things of that nature. You can't cross food types. If you got a particular kind of organic life, that organic life has to feed on the appropriate food type. So if you have been born of the Spirit of God, you've got to eat the Word of God, anointed by the Holy Ghost of God. See, you can preach words that have no anointing and no benefit for you. Only the Holy Ghost can come upon words and saturate the words with the correct type of power and anointing to actually have you grow thereby into the image of Christ. You've got to be under the right food source. You can't eat everything from anywhere and everywhere. So you can have somebody telling you something that's right, but they might have the wrong spirit. You don't want a proud person trying to tell you the truth, because embedded in the truth will be elements of pride. You don't want somebody full of lust preaching to you, because the elements of lust will be embedded in the words they're saying. You don't want somebody with an ulterior motive teaching you, because the ulterior motive will be used to divine something on you to captivate your mind in an inordinate fashion to bind you to their personality. This is why you see so many personality cults. There are embedded influences of witchcraft in what people are teaching, and the people become enamored with the personality because they did not just ingest the words. They were not pure words. Embedded in those words were the personality of the speaker. And see, what happens is when you have what we call affectations and you need validation and vindication and verification and just good old-fashioned worship from the people, then your motives will not be pure, because you have an ulterior motive of trying to get people to like you, notice you, validate you, say amen to you, try to sign off on you, because without an identity in Christ, you will look for horizontal validation. It's a slick operation. You can study for debate. You can study for argument. You can study for a lot of reasons and then bring that to the marketplace. You can be out here with the wrong motivation, trying to get people to stand in awe of you and not Jesus Christ, because you need horizontal validation. Horizontal validation. It's like the girl that goes to the gym every day, goes to Brazil and gets butt implants and breast implants and got the weave done and all the eyelashes done and all this makeup on, and she's got herself all primed and pruned and proper, but she needs horizontal validation. The motivation is skewed. She went and did what she did because she's seeking for somebody to validate her. That's why they sit on Facebook and all these different websites and different social mediums like Instagram and paste their pictures on there and change them every 2 weeks just so you can ooh and ah over them, because they need the validation. Seeking for horizontal validation is a curse. You've got two kinds of women out there. The young girls who don't have a man because all these boys have become homosexuals running after guys, and they just paste themselves over the internet all day long and all night long trying to get somebody to pay attention to them because they can't find anybody that likes them, and they're starving for attention. Then you got the older women that have been divorced or rejected by men who have now gone back to the gym to get the body tight and right. Now they're out here posting pictures to get horizontal validation. Look, folks, get to the Lord. Let the Lord restore your heart. Let him restore your identity. Stop needing people to sign off on you. You don't need to be somebody. You know, you can find a lot of peace just sitting at home reading your Bible, doing a little praying, and maybe a little cooking out when it gets warmer. Who needs to keep having to need people to validate them? Somebody to say amen. Somebody to give you accolades over the internet because of the words you brought. You know, I mean, it's bad when you're thinking you're deep and nobody really thinks you're deep. And you're there looking like you don't know what you're talking about, and people are laughing at you and saying amen to you while they're mocking you. Just go and sit down like Mary at Jesus' feet. Let him give you what you need. And as he gives you what you need, it won't be for you to know stuff. It's going to be in order to transform you into his image, so you can now relate to Jesus Christ. You want to know Jesus Christ, and you want to be able to relate to his mind. He doesn't think like us. Jesus Christ is in another dimension. Jesus Christ is not a three-dimensional being. He's in another dimension. You know, physicists have determined there may be as many as 10 dimensions. You know, it's a lot of different ways to look at things down here as far as physics are concerned. You know, truths stay the same at all times down here. Mathematical truths and, you know, things that govern physics. It's like triangles. You know, a triangle, if you take a triangle, whether it be a isosceles or just a regular three-part equilateral triangle or whatever, if you take any triangle and you measure or you determine what the angles are in every corner, it will always equal to 180 degrees. You know, like if you take a equilateral triangle that's got a every angle in it, when you do it 60, 60, 60, it's going to equal 180. If you take and the reason why it is because it's all straight lines connecting. See, a straight line is 180 degrees. It's a straight line. So it's going to always go and establish itself back to 180 again. Now, if you got a triangle that laid flat on the earth and it's not measuring out to 180, and you got something that's out of kilter as far as the angle being further out than that and making it longer or whatever, and it's more than 180, what you're now doing is you're accounting for the curvature of the earth. Since the earth curves, see, if you lay out a triangle and it's going to curve and it's going to elongate a part of it. And I'm saying that to say this. There are laws that govern everything. A square is going to always have 360 degrees, because a square is basically just a cornered circle. It's a line that's going around in a circle, but it's blocked off, so every corner is 90 degrees. just like a rectangle, every corner will be 90 degrees. Because this is the same as a circle. A circle is 360, so a square is 360, 90 degrees in each corner. So you see now, these things are used to actually lay out houses, to measure things, and it's used in engineering. All these things have a logical format behind them. And I'm saying all of that to say this, not to try to sound deep. I'm saying that to say this, that God's church has a logical layout. It has a logical format. It's not helter-skelter. It's not running around in anarchy and all kinds of confusion. God is not the author of confusion, the Bible says. So we've got to go back to the leadership that God established in order to have the lordship of Jesus Christ come into play and Jesus Christ to rule over his established, ordained government. Everything God does has order. It has functionality. It's nothing done helter-skelter. Mankind has been able to tap in some of the things that God has done. Guys like Albert Einstein and a lot of physicists and inventors and people who are engineers, they study the parameters of physics and determine some of the mathematical equations that explain it. And that's how we get inventions and we get all kinds of technological advancements. But all they've done is they've tapped into the logic of God's mind. They would never be able to know anything about anything if God didn't allow them to figure it out. Jet propulsion engines, the engines that power our cars, the gas-powered engines, the telephone, the TV, computers. Look at how many natural resources like silicon and things of that nature are used to actually power things, to power cell phones. Who would ever think that you can mine things out of the ground to use in fabricating cell phones and TVs and all kinds of circuit boards and things of that nature? God has to reveal that to man. He has to let somebody know, Alexander Graham Bell and the telephone. You know, all these inventions come from God allowing man to tap into his creative mind for us to actually live better lives because God is advancing technology. The Bible says at the end of time in the book of Daniel that knowledge would increase. And that's what's happening as far as technological advancements. Knowledge is increasing. So you see now with all this order, all this design, all of these things that make us tick, the billions of cells in a human body and the ability for those cells to regenerate themselves. Who in the world could make this? Who in the world could design these things? All the animals, the way oxygen is on this planet, how the plants need us to survive and we need them. The plants giving off oxygen and in turn we provide, I think it's carbon dioxide for them. So you see how everything is reciprocal. Everything is operating in some kind of a fluid fashion. Everything is orderly. Everything makes sense. Everything has been microscopically designed to function correctly. And here we get to the church and you get chaos. You get to the church and you get anarchy. Why? Because flesh is in the church. If we can get flesh expunged from the church, we'll have a church that's patterned after God's heart. So we have to have functional, disciplined, authorized leadership put back in place. Look at this. God says in verse 3 of Jeremiah 23, I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. In other words, they'll be fruitful and multiply. You'll get healthy sheep that can reproduce sheep. You'll be saving people because you finally got in proper alignment with God. And I will set up shepherds over them. Notice how he always has leadership in place. I, God, will set up pastors or shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. So let's look at this now. Without the proper shepherds in place, you'll be fearful, dismayed, and lacking. If that's not the modern day church, I don't know what is. You know why you're fearful, dismayed, and lacking? Because that pulpit pimp is taking all the stuff for himself. That's what's causing it. They're not feeding the sheep. They're fleecing the sheep. Taking all the stuff. The people are burdened down and beat down to the ground. And everybody's standing around like it's not happening. Because the folks have gotten used to it. They've gotten used to being fleeced. So you come into the equation and we tell you, okay, let's step out of this and establish Dunamis Tabernacle. You get fed. You get fat. You get full of the Holy Ghost and you go do it. That's infallible. Don't follow. Come in and get fed, get strong, and roll with it. And the church becomes a place for you to refuel because you're out on the field doing the job yourself. The problem with most people in church, they've undermined their development because now they're arrested in their development. And I'm going to show you the results of arrested development in just a minute. Now look at this. He says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." So you know he's referring to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was promised through the Davidic covenant. There are different covenants in the Bible. There's the Abrahamic covenant. There's the Mosaic covenant. There's the Davidic covenant. There's the Messianic covenant. There's the Aaronic covenant, Aaron's covenant that set up the priesthood. Yeah, there are different covenants in the Bible. Jesus fulfilled many of the covenants. He fulfilled the Messianic covenant, the Messiah was promised. He fulfilled the Davidic covenant that a heir of David would always be on the throne of Israel. He fulfilled a lot of covenants, the Abrahamic covenant. A promise made to the seed of Abraham, which Jesus was. It goes on and on. So it's order. The prophecies in the Bible must be fulfilled exactly as they were written because God is orderly. Jesus even asked for something to drink. The Bible says that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Everything has to be done according to God's mind and his plan. Leadership in the church is necessary because you'll have sheep that will scatter and they'll hear all these different voices and start to ingest all of this foreign information, which will skew your mind. The Bible says you'll be blown about by every wind of doctrine. Look at this. In his days, Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord, our righteousness. This is Jesus, the Lord, our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say the Lord lives, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord lives, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries whither I had driven them. And they shall dwell in their own land. Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake, and I am like a drunken man, and like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. Now, what you got running around down here is a whole lot of false prophets. Normally, when somebody calls themselves a prophet, that's normally the sign that that's a false prophet. Because prophets don't have to call themselves prophets. Their works, their gifts speak for them. Anybody promoting themselves as a prophet, beware, you're usually dealing with somebody that's got affectations looking for attention. For the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing, the land mourns. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Somebody profane? The word profane means to make a temple dirty. It means their temples are dirty. And usually a profane person speaks profanity. Because profanity is designed to make your temple dirty. See, when somebody's cursing at you, the curse words are trying to lodge in your mind for you to remember them. so you can hear the cursing later on. They would have skewed your temple and made it nasty by the nasty words spewing out of their mouths. So somebody that's profane has a nasty inner man. Profane, making a temple dirty. So he says both the prophet and priest are profane. Yes, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. That's what you got going on right now. You got all these folks just talking day and night and cursing themselves and damning their souls by what they're saying. They're prophesying in Baal. They're prophesying under a satanic unction. And they don't even know it. And they won't shut up. You're begging them, please shut up and sit down somewhere. But they just keep on going. He says, you're talking in Baal spirit, and you cause my people Israel to err. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. You watched out here at New Birth, here in Atlanta, a man sitting there with satellite churches all over the nation, having all these young boys under his control, sodomizing these boys, giving them all kinds of luxury cars and keeping them in condos and all kinds of townhouses for his pleasure and for him to indulge himself with them. Traveling with them all over to Europe and all over the United States, New York, buying them expensive, extravagant gifts. And everybody sits there. I mean, your wife even sits there. With you sodomizing young boys and the church people paying for it. And after he's caught, the church people have to pay for the legal fees and all the judgments awarded to these boys. Your tithe money used to pay for the indiscretions of a sodomite. And you sit there laughing, joking, smoking, and coking. And everything is taken from you and you've been made a complete fool out of. And because you were culpable in what he did, now you have to use what we talked about it Sunday, cognitive dissonance. To distance yourself from your guilt and try to justify this man being all right. You have to make Eddie Long all right because you don't want to measure up to the fact that, hey, I'm the one that financed the whole filthy deal. I'm guilty because I financed the crime. You know, when you are charged with somebody that committed a crime, the police come and call you an accessory to murder. An accessory to the theft. You were there. You were just in the car. You might have been driving the car. You didn't know they stole something out of the convenience store. But now you're an accessory. And see, these people are accessories. They financed the operation of a sodomite pedophile. A homosexual sodomite pedophile was financed by church people, led into a ditch by a blind man, and they still sit there and refuse to acknowledge before God that I'm guilty of this and I need to repent and get my hands washed from what I've done. Stop trying to go around things and deal straight with God and he'll deal straight with you. But you see now, the inhabitants, both the prophets and the priests and the people involved in the wickedness are like Sodom and Gomorrah to God, he says. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood. You know, wormwood is bitter thing. Bitter, gall, filthy. I'm going to feed you with wormwood. and made them drink the water of gall. That's what Jesus drank on the cross. You know, nasty, filthy, vinegar-like water. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. They're making temples dirty. What temples? Know you not that you are the temple of God? You're the temple of the Holy Ghost? They are actually defiling the people from the pulpits. What's wrong? Improper leadership, fleshly leadership, homosexual leadership, Jezebel spirits in the pulpits all over the country. All these folks are profaning the people and actually turning the people away from proper leadership. They're actually introducing into your soul the spirit of Antichrist. You'll have a natural inclination to resist truth once you sit up under the false. And you'll keep going back to the false, looking for something. Trying to find a way to make somebody fit into some mold that you won't let go of. Because you won't personally do the job yourself. You know, I'm never interested in all these revelations and trying to find out who's saying what and looking for people that say this, that, and the other. Because you should have an innate desire to get full of the Holy Ghost and be a representative of God yourself. So that'll stop you from running around being blown to and fro by every wind of doctrine. I'm going to do it myself. So I'm sitting up under the proper teaching in order to get filled, powered up, because I'm about to lay hands on the sick. I'm about to cast out devils. I'm about to open blind eyes. I'm going to freely receive and freely give. I'm going to preach the gospel to every tongue, tribe, and nation. I'm going into this thing for me. When you've got that motivation, you don't get wrapped up in personalities because you're not here to serve anybody and not here to idolize anybody. I'm here with a purpose. I entered into Yale as a freshman, anticipating graduation in 4 years. I went to Yale with a purpose. Now, you know how many people go to college with no purpose? They'll be gone in a year. Because they're there to party and jive around, sleep in. Notice how no one comes to get you out of bed in college. If you're in the college dorm sleep, they let you sleep because you already paid your fees. You already paid your tuition. If you're dumb enough to owe those student loans, having slept every day in college, they're going to say, that's you. And you'll be flying a lot of flags on that report card, and you'll be thrown out and suspended from the school and finally just dismissed, all because you didn't come to school with a purpose. You've got to have a purpose. You've got to be involved in ministry and listening to messages with a purpose in mind. What are you listening for tonight? What are you listening for tonight? Why are you listening to this message? What's the purpose? What are you trying to do? What do you want to do? What are you planning on doing with the information? Are you going to save anybody? Are you going to be used by God? Are you seeking God for the baptism and the infilling of the Holy Ghost for you? Do you have your equipment to minister to people? Your Bibles? Your literature? Your CDs. Do you have a salvation kit? A little briefcase or bag with your things that you use for saving people in the trunk of your car? Just in case you meet somebody, you got a Bible for them. Just in case you need to direct them to something, you have the information. Just in case you meet a rejected girl, do you have a book on rejection? Do you have the book, The Aftermath of Abortion, in case you meet somebody who's had an abortion? What are you? A troop with no weapons. A soldier with no rifle. No combat boots. No helmet. No backpack. No fatigues. No fighting gear. No bayonet. No grenades. No rocket launchers. What are you? What do you listen to the gospel for? Do you have the tools available to you to do something about a situation? Most folk are just like a person that is able to identify a problem but do nothing about it. For instance, you can't swim. You're on the seashore, you're down at the beach, somebody's drowning out in 30 feet of water, but you can't swim. Nobody sees them drowning but you. You can identify the problem, you can identify they're drowning, but you can't help them because you can't swim. That's most church people right there. They can talk about problems all day, but can you do anything about it? You can talk about somebody being demon possessed, but can you cast it out? We're talking about somebody that's sick, but can you lay hands on the sick and they recover? You break it down to the practical side of life. You meet somebody that's starving, but you have no food to feed them. You have no money to help them with. You have no resources. There's nothing in place in your life to be of any practical help in the kingdom of God whatsoever. Why is that? Why do you think like that? What has your mind captivated that you've never made any preparations for anything? Why is it always someone else that's towing the line and having to do the heavy lifting? Why not you? What are you? What are you doing? Why did you get saved? See, you have to have a purpose. If you go to ministry and go to church, you're going with a purpose, not to sit there forever, but to be equipped to go forth and be productive. Look what he says here in Jeremiah. He says, this profaneness from these false preachers have gone forth in all the land. Verse 16, the Lord says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They make you empty. They make you useless. To sit up and listen to T.D. Jakes all day will make you useless. Because all you're getting is emotional hype. You're getting worked up to an emotional frenzy that has no substance. And you're becoming vain and useless. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me. They're talking to people that despise God. Think about this now. Churches packed to the rafters, full of people that despise God. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord have said, you shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walks after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who have stood in the counsel of the Lord, and have perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he hath executed, until he hath performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, you shall consider it perfectly. We're in those days right now. We're going to see this thing come upon this world in judgment. He's about to clean house, overturn this thing, overturn the money changers table, and bring in a new breed of leadership. In these latter days, you shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? God is right there, near up on you now. And the Bible says, the word is near you, even in your mouth, and this is the word we're preaching. God is not a distant God because he's in another dimension. You know, I really believe the dimensions are open based on the vibrations of that entity in that dimension. In other words, invisible things are there for a reason. Let me give an example of what I mean. You're standing by a highway, and a car goes down the street going 10 miles an hour. Question, can you see the car? Yes. Another car comes by going 50 miles an hour. Can you see the car? Yes. Another car goes by going 300 miles an hour. You'll see the car, but it'll be a blip on the radar screen. Now imagine a car that goes by you doing 1 trillion miles per hour. You know what you're going to see? Nothing. The car would be invisible. It would move so fast that your eyes wouldn't have time to actually send the signal to your brain to have seen it. So therefore, what makes things invisible? It is my contention, it's the vibrations of the entity that is different from the three-dimensional world we live in. You remember when Gehazi couldn't see the army of God around him and Elijah? And Elijah asked God to open up Gehazi's eyes so he could see the army of angels that were with them in chariots of fire there on the battlefield with them. You see, the eyes can be opened by adjusting the ability to see and accommodating the, I believe, a higher frequency level or higher vibrations in that fourth dimension. And you can see the entities that live there. You couldn't take that all day. You couldn't take looking at spirit beings all day because they don't look like us, a lot of them. Some of those things are horrific. Some demons look horrific. You couldn't look at that all day. You think a horror movie is scary. You don't want to see some of these things that are over there. So what I'm saying is this. We're surrounded by things that are invisible all day. Sometimes when your mind slows down and you're dreaming at night and sleeping, the spirit world is unveiled in dreams. Or you can be in this state of different brain patterns that allow for these creatures to come across at night and bother you. And you pick up a presence in your room. You can feel entities around you because something has happened in the brain patterns to allow you to pick up these different vibrations. So we've got to be aware that everything has a spiritual essence, whether you know it or not. You might not see the spirit in a person, but there is no human being that is out from under the auspices of a spirit. Every human being on this earth is in covenant with a spirit, whether it be God's spirit or the devil's spirit. Nobody is immune. A little apple cider there. Apple cider is good. Nobody is immune. Every person you see is in covenant and uplinked to some entity in the spirit world. I mean, if you're not in covenant with God, you only got one other choice. You're in covenant with the devil, whether you know it or not. And the worst way to be in covenant with the devil is to be in covenant with a religious devil. Because now you think you got God and you got the devil, mistaking him as God. That's the worst case scenario. So look, you've got to get under the word, under proper authority, not to be cowing down and subservient to the authority, but to be taught. You got to somehow yield yourself and submit yourself to the teachings in order for you to grow. You can't be taught in any university if you won't submit yourself to the professor. It's impossible. So you need to know where the proper authority and leadership is to teach you. And you can identify them because the gift will be identifiable. Because they'll know things, they'll be able to teach you things that other people can't. Look at this. He says, "Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in a secret place that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I feel heaven and earth, saith the Lord?" That's terrifying. Those statements are terrifying. You can't hide from me. Everywhere you go, I go. David said, if I make my bed in hell, he's down there. God is everywhere. He's conscious of everybody everywhere. He knows where everything is, the small and the great. He knows where every ant is. He knows where every amoeba is. He knows every hair on your head. He can tell you the exact number of hairs on your head. The Bible says they are numbered. You don't want to fool around with God. Look what he says. "I have heard what the prophet said that prophesied lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yes, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. And Baal is always a type of Satan. So you see now, he's telling you all these lies to get you to forget about God and replace God with him, the false prophet. Why do you think Paula White is up there strutting around Donald Trump in the White House? Paula White is vying for the seat of power. That's a Jezebel spirit. She got a bunch of black folks providing her financial backing in the church. Black folks, blind as a bat, falling behind this diva white woman that's actually exalted as a queen over them. You know, the harlot rides the beast in Revelation. So here they are, sitting up under illegitimate authority in the church, a woman pastor, and now she's strutting around Donald Trump like she's some kind of spiritual guru, and all of it is crazy, and folks sit here looking at it as if nothing is happening that's wrong. I'm going to spare not, I'm going to cry aloud, I'm going to show you transgressions and iniquity. And people need to stop being so cotton-picking stupid. Stupid. Disenfranchised, downtrodden, rejected black folks in that church down in Florida set up Paula White as the pastor. And you sit there in total rebellion against God listening to a bunch of lies coming from unauthorized leadership pretending like it's real. And I won't take it back. Look at this. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat? That sounds just like what Jesus said about the Pharisees and Sadducees. What in the devil is the chaff to the wheat? Forget them, saith the Lord. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord? And like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. God's word is like a fire and like a hammer that will break you down. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord. He coming after everybody now. He coming after you. You've been telling these lies and tricking and slicking folk. Joel Osteen been telling all these lies, all these motivational speeches, taking folks' money, Creflo Dollar telling that prosperity lie. Leroy Thompson talking about money coming to you now, when in fact money is coming to him now. Folk running to the altar, throwing money up in the pulpit as Creflo and Leroy Thompson there preaching. You don't believe it? Google it. Find them on YouTube. You'll find them standing in the pulpit acting like two nuts with folk just running up to the altar throwing money on it. What is wrong with you? What is taking over your mind? What happened to your logic? What happened to your common sense? What's going on down here? People are driven into madness by the false prophets.